Good morning. It is March the 15th, 2026, in the year of our Lord. And the title for my message, some of you might recognize, Just the Facts, Ma'am. Just the Facts. My reading, I'm only doing one reading today because it's rather long. It comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 9. And when I say chapter 9, I mean the entire chapter. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with his saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some claimed that he was. Others said, No, he only looks like him. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened, they asked, and he replied, The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash, and so I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man, they asked him. I don't know, he said. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. And others asked, How can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. He's a prophet. They still not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son, they asked? Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he's our son, and we know he was born blind, but how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, He is of age, ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth. We know that this man is a sinner. And he replied, Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he answered, I have already told you, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, You are this fellow's disciple. We are the disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. And the man answered, Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. To this they replied, You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said, You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you. Then the man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Then Jesus said, For judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind. Some Pharisees who were there with him heard him say this and asked, What? Are we blind too? And Jesus said, If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now you claim to see, and your guilt remains. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. For my listening audience, how many remember Sergeant Joe Friday from the television show Dragnet? That show ran in the 1950s, I believe from 1951 to 1959. And if you're a fan of Dragnet, you know exactly where the title for my message comes from. Dragnet was about the police in the LA Police Department and investigators. And one of the sergeants, Joe Friday, had a famous catchphrase, Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. Talking about facts, is there anything more factual than the statement made by the man born blind and who was healed by Jesus? One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. It was reported that someone asked Helen Keller whether being blind was the worst affliction in the world. She smiled and said, No, not half as bad as having two good eyes and seeing nothing. Isn't that the truth? We have so many people in our lives who have 20/20 vision, and yet they are blind to the ways of God and the person of Jesus Christ. They are spiritually blind, and how sad that truly is. What we have read in this encounter with Jesus and the man born blind and the Pharisees is a two-way power of fear. It was feared as demonstrated by the Pharisees because this man being given his sight would change everything that they understood about the very nature of God and the coming Messiah. And you see the fear of the parents. They know for a fact that this was their child who was born blind. And yet something miraculous has happened. And if they acknowledge that miracle, they have the very strong possibility of losing everything. They would be put out of the synagogue. They would be ostracized in their local community. So the Pharisees are gripped by the realization that this miracle is beyond their understanding, and it would turn their theological world upside down as it relates to Messiah. And as for the parents, their fear is being put out, of being ostracized, of not being accepted. Both groups are coming to the realization that now there is a man who can see for the very first time in his entire life. You know, it's funny how people are always looking for someone else to blame for their circumstances, or maybe even for the state of the world. When you read the chapter 9 in the Gospel of John, the first 5 verses, there is a discussion amongst the disciples. They're wanting a simple answer for a very complicated question. And they say to Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, if you use some logic, if you use some reasoning here, you would come to the realization that this man could not have sinned who was born blind. He hadn't been born yet. That does not make any sense. But that question posed by the disciples to Jesus was not unusual for that time and era, because most Jews believed that all suffering was caused by personal sin. But in this particular case, Jesus made it crystal clear that personal sin was not the reason for this man's blindness. Jesus, now let me clarify this. I don't want people to misunderstand. Jesus was not denying the general connection between sin and suffering. In other words, personal actions have consequences. He was not denying that. So don't come away thinking, well, okay, I guess, you know, it's not my fault. Now, there are some things in life where God's sovereignty and purposes play out that we as human beings do not easily understand, and maybe we don't accept. The disciples, along with the Pharisees, sees this man's condition as evidence of God's judgment. Jesus, however, sees it as an opportunity for God's healing power and grace, and I think that is so beautiful. Let me share this story with you. The names are fictitious, but the story in essence is true. We'll call him Charles. Charles was born to a middle-aged mother who had an alcoholic husband. And Charles, being the youngest of three children, he was born with Down syndrome. His mother was a godly woman who saved and used her resources carefully, very diligently. Her husband, because of his alcoholism and his addiction, could not keep a job or provide enough resources for his wife and his three children. And sadly, and I say this sincerely, sadly, he committed suicide. He left behind a wife with three children, and she had little resources at her disposal. Over the course of time, she found a job working in a school. And with good neighborly friends and with family, she was able to have her children washed when she was working. As Charles grew older, it became his habit to walk the town and to talk to anybody. Charles was friendly and winsome and well-received by everyone. This was at a point in time where in the neighborhood that he lived in, whites and blacks lived in different neighborhoods. There was segregation. You had middle class, and you had working class, and you had upper class. You had the newcomers versus the old-timers. And as time went on, Charles became the rallying point around which the people would come together, regardless of their race, regardless of their class, and regardless of the zip code that they lived in. Whether they were newcomers or old-timers, it didn't matter. Charles sadly died when he was 37 years old. The entire town came together to remember him and to celebrate his life. For some, Charles was deficient and deformed. But for others, he was God's little peacemaker for that small town. And he was not easily forgotten. A wise man and a wise woman realizes that there are some things that we do not understand fully. Let me read again from the gospel. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I'd like you to listen to this poem. Now, the author is unknown. I wish I could give you the name of this author. And it's titled Blinded by Low Expectations. Filled with a strange new hope they came, the blind, the leper, the sick, the lame. Frail of body, spent of soul, as many as touched him were made whole. On every tongue was the healer's name, through all the land they spread his fame. But doubt clung tight to its old wooden crutch, saying, we must not expect too much. Down through the ages a promise came, healing for sorrow and sin and shame. Help for the helpless and caught in life's grind, healing for the body and soul and mind. The Christ we follow is still the same, with blessings that all who will may claim. But how often we miss love's healing touch by thinking we must not expect too much. Beautiful poem, to the point, straightforward, and spot on. You know, I get it when having low expectations is the norm for some people. I get it. I understand it. You've been disappointed. You've had your heart broken. Maybe you felt betrayed. When you relied on people, they weren't there for you. I get the low expectations. But I don't get it from God. I get it from people. I can get it from the government. I can get it from the sports team I cheer on. But I don't get it from God. You know, when you rightly think about it, this man's parents and neighbors, not to mention the Pharisees, were holding too tightly to that old wooden crutch. It's both sad and amazing how people can miss out on God's power and presence and blessing in their life because they are blinded by preconceived notions. Let me read to you again from verse 13 through 16. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day in which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was the Sabbath, and therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight, and he said, "He put mud on my eyes. I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God. He does not keep the Sabbath." But others asked, "How can a sinner perform such signs?" So they were divided. You know, I've met people who have such warped and stringent interpretations of Scripture that they miss out on God's blessings and are spiritually blind to the power of Christ in their life. Now, we read in the Gospels of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and there are others as well, who were spiritually blind to the blessings of God through Jesus Christ. But in our day and age, we have radical liberals and we have radical conservatives who are theologically missing out in the light, the beauty, and the power of God to do something wonderful in their life. On the one hand, one is dismissive, refuses to believe in the supernatural power of God. And on the other hand, you have others who believe in the Scripture and the Word, but they put that in the box. They limit God to a certain time when only the apostles were alive. So people misinterpret the Scriptures and are blinded by limiting God to the past. No more healings, no more words of wisdom and guidance for them. No need for the power of God in their life. And in their eyes, they're okay. Now, I'm not saying be gullible and naive and accept everything that someone tells you. The New Testament says to test the spirits of the prophets. But what I am saying is do not categorically dismiss the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit of God. Now, some of you might be saying, you know what, why do we need the power of the Spirit of God? We've got modern science. We've got medicine. We have advanced technology in our communications. We have the so-called experts. You know, when people are hounding you and becoming a nuisance, sometimes the best remedy is humor and sarcasm. Why do I say that? Because the blind man employed humor and sarcasm to his detractors. Let me read again from verse 24 through 27. A second time they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God by telling the truth. We know this man's a sinner." And he replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered, "I have already told you, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Do you remember when your eyes were opened to God's saving power in your life and how liberating and freeing that was for you? This man who was healed by Jesus and given new eyes to see is coming to the quick realization that the Pharisees are looking for ways to entrap Jesus and to frame him, and he refuses to go along with their twisted ways of thinking. You know, it wasn't too long ago, on September the 4th in 2020 in Kenosha, Wisconsin, that CNN was gaslighting the nation with its, quote, fiery but mostly peaceful protests. as flames were literally engulfing buildings behind the reporter. This was all during the Black Lives Matter rioting that took place across the country. CNN and all and so many other mainstream media were gaslighting the nation to cover for their lapdogs. What an amazing profession of faith this man makes, because he was no longer blind. His spiritual growth and journey from darkness to light is seen in his descriptions of Jesus. Verse 11, all he says, the man they call Jesus healed me. Then he goes on to say that he speaks of Jesus as a prophet, verse 17. And from then he goes on to say that Jesus is a man from God, verse 37. And finally, when Jesus is talking to him and he asks him if he believes in the Son of Man, he says, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him, verse 38. There is a steady progression from doubt and agnosticism, I don't know, to a confession of faith, a profound confession of faith. His faithful witness is a beautiful testimony. It is factual and it is truthful. Maybe we can see ourselves in this story as this man's faith and healing progresses. Maybe, just maybe, you need to determine where you are in your faith with Jesus, and once you've made that determination, to go out boldly into the world. You see, no pun intended, you were blind, but now you see. You know, some people are like Sergeant Joe Friday from Dragnet. Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. Amen.